Glorifying the Life Works and the Associates of Sri Padramanujacharya. Today we are in part 5 of the seminar. So hopefully today will be the last session. I'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bangum Langayate Kiran Yatkrapa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam నమావోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలి శ్రీమతి రాధానాథ స్వామినితి నామ్నే నమావోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలి శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామ్నే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశకారిణి జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీపాద రామానుజాచార్య. సో యాజ్ ఐ మెన్షన్ వి ఆర్ ఇన్ పార్ట్ 5 ఆఫ్ అవర్ సెమినార్. ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ క్లాస్ దట్ వాస్ పార్ట్ 4 వి సా అబౌట్ ద బిగ్ విజయ యాత్ర ఆఫ్ రామానుజాచార్య, హౌ హీ వెంట్ టు డిఫరెంట్ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ హీ వెంట్ టు కాశ్మీర్ అండ్ ప్రొక్యూర్డ్ ద బోధాయన వృద్ధి గ్రంథ విత్ విచ్ హీ బిగాన్ టు రైట్ ద శ్రీ భాష్య. And then we saw that portion. We also saw about the part where there was a particular king who was against the Vaishnavas, and he came to attack Srirangam. And with the help of Kuresh, Ramanujacharya actually escaped and he traveled towards Karnataka. So that is where we stopped in the previous class. And we saw a couple of pastimes that happened on the way to Karnataka when he was going towards Melkote. So this is where we had stopped in the previous class. Now, actually, before that, before he left for the Digvijayatra or he went towards Karnataka and all that, I forgot to mention a couple of pastimes that are very, very sweet that happened in Srirangam. Actually, this should have been a part of part 3 of our seminar, but unfortunately, I just skipped these two pastimes. So I just wanted to say that in brief. So once when Sripad Ramanujacharya was at Srirangam, a deaf and dumb person, he came and he requested Sripad Ramanujacharya that he wanted initiation from him. So seeing this man's condition, Ramanuja's heart sank. He felt very, very bad because he was thinking, how can I give him mantra diksha? He'll not be able to hear or he will not be able to repeat the mantra. So how am I going to initiate him? So at that time, Ramanujacharya, he thought of an idea. He asked everyone to leave the ashram, and he took this man inside his ashram and he closed all the doors and windows. So when he was doing this, actually Kuresh, who was close associate, he was very curious to see what was happening. So Kuresh, he had an idea. He just started seeing the whole thing through the keyhole of the door. He was watching what was happening inside. So Ramanujacharya, he took the deaf and dumb man inside the room, and with a lot of love in his eyes, Ramanujacharya looked at this man and told him in sign to look to, he just pointed to his lotus feet. Ramanujacharya pointed towards his lotus feet. So seeing this indication, this deaf and dumb man, he understood what Ramanujacharya was saying, and he fell and offered full dandavats at the lotus feet of Sripad Ramanujacharya and full surrender. So at that time, Ramanujacharya, he placed his lotus feet on the head of the man. Immediately, this man started exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy because he surrendered completely with full faith to Sripad Ramanujacharya. Now, Kuresh, who was watching this whole scene, he became very, very, very happy. At the same time, he felt very bad. He started regretting and lamenting. He thought to himself that he's so unfortunate. He actually exclaims, I'm so unfortunate and I'm so ashamed because of this intellect that I have. Sripad Ramanujacharya, my guru, has assigned so many various tasks to me because I'm very intelligent and I'm able to repeat verses and I'm a scholar. But all this scholarship has actually acted as an obstruction for me to attain the similar grace as this person has attained. So that's a very sweet pastime of how Sripad Ramanujacharya graced a deaf and dumb person. Then one more pastime I wanted to say. One time Sripad Ramanujacharya was traveling to a particular place known as Tirukolur. This is actually a place that is on the banks of the river Tamiravarani. So when he was traveling through this place, he was just entering the town to go and visit an ancient temple there. So while he was entering the town, a particular woman was coming out of the town, that is, she was running out of the town. So Ramanujacharya was very surprised why someone would be leaving that holy dam, because this particular dam has been glorified in the songs of the Alvars. So Ramanujacharya was wondering, why is this lady running out of the dam? So Ramanujacharya, he stops this lady and asks her, oh my lady, there are so many people who take all kinds of extraordinary steps to gain entry into this place, and why are you leaving this place? So at that time, that lady gives 81 reasons supporting her decision to leave the town. What she does is, she quotes the example of 81 great devotees and explains that she doesn't possess the qualities of their devotion or faith or kindness or sacrifice that they have done. That is, she says, I don't have the Vaishnava qualities like these devotees. She quotes the devotion of various Vaishnavas like Vidhura, Akrura, Uddhava, Dhruva, Prahlad, Vibhishan, Jatayu. Like that, she quotes all of them and what they have done. So she gives 81 examples of different devotees, and she says, I don't even have one qualification as they have. That is, I don't have one single quality that these devotees possess. So why should I? I'm not qualified to live in this dham, and hence I'm walking out. So at that time, hearing her words, Shripad Ramanujacharya, he could understand the intense devotion she had and the humility she had. And he requests her, you know, in those days, we're talking about 1,000 years ago, he's a sannyasi, he wouldn't go and request a woman like this. But specifically, Shripad Ramanujacharya requests her, can you please cook for me? So we all know how a person's consciousness is transmitted through the prasadam they cook. So Shripad Ramanujacharya very lovingly, he asked her, can you please cook for me? I want to honor the prasad cook by your hands. So, and then she, of course, cooks, and Ramanujacharya honors the prasad. So these are the two pastimes I wanted to cover in part three itself during his stay in Srirangam. Now, in the previous class, we stopped at a point where Kurish and Mahapurna, that is, this is part four. In part four, we stopped at a point where Kurish and Mahapurna went to meet the Chola king, and their eyes were blinded because of his envy against with Vaishnavas. Both of their eyes were blinded. And on their way back, Mahapurna, he actually left his body and he went to the spiritual world before he entered the town of Srirangam. And he gave his reasons why he desired to leave his body before entering the dham. And in Shripad Ramanujacharya, this was happening on one side. Kuresh and Mahapurna, they went and met the king, and all kinds of things happened in their life. At the same time, Ramanujacharya was asked to move towards Karnataka by Kuresh in his message, and Shripad Ramanujacharya walks towards Karnataka. And on the way, we saw that he blessed a group of hunters and a particular Brahmin lady who was originally his disciple in Srirangam. So this is what we saw in the previous class, and we stopped there. Now, let's continue from that point onwards, what happened in his life. Then, in that town itself, after blessing the lady and her husband, after initiating her husband, as we saw in the previous class, Ramanujacharya, he procured Tridanda and Kashaya. Now, remember, Ramanujacharya is in white clothes, right? He's wearing the dress of Kuresh. So now he had traveled a little bit away from the danger zone. That is, he had almost entered Karnataka. So Ramanujacharya was feeling confident that now he can get back to his sannyas clothes. So in that town itself, he procures a bamboo, he makes tridanda, and he gets saffron clothes, and he adorns himself with saffron clothes, holds his tridanda, and as a proper sannyasi, he continues to walk. Then, this is the description of his first entry into Karnataka. So Ramanujacharya, along with seven disciples, headed by Dhasarathi, they are all entering Karnataka. And there is a pond known as Vanni Pushkarini. This is a lake, you can see. Actually, it's not a pond, it's a big lake. So when they saw that lake, this area is called as Mithilapuri Shalikramam near Karnataka. It is not in north, it is in south. It is called Shalikram, but it is in South India. Okay? So they enter this place, and when Ramanujacharya sees this river, he calls out to Dasarathi, and he tells Dasarathi to touch this water with his lotus feet. He says, Dasarathi, put your legs into the water. So Dasarathi immediately, by his guru's order, he dips his feet into the water that was flowing, into the river that was flowing, and immediately the people who drank that water and the people who came to bathe in that river, all of them became purified by the dust from the feet of Dasarathi, who is the prime disciple of Sri Padramanujacharya. And interestingly, all of them became Vaishnavas and they became the disciples of Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya made several disciples in that area just by this one magic, Dasarathi entering the river. Just by that, hundreds and thousands of people became the disciples of Sri Padramanujacharya. So one such person who became a very great disciple of Sri Padramanujacharya was called as Andhrapurna. Andhrapurna or Vadganambi. Okay, this character, this person is a very, very, very interesting character. So, and again, in many of the lectures of many of our Guru Vargas, I think many of you might have heard some stories here and there about this person called as Andhrapurna. So, Ramanujacharya, out of his causeless mercy, he teaches this particular disciple called as Andhrapurna about different principles of devotional service. And this particular person, Andhrapurna, he develops very, very strong faith and devotion in his guru. He develops a very strong acharya nishtha, that means very strong guru bhakti. He develops extreme faith in his guru. That is, he becomes so inseparable from Ramanujacharya. For him, Ramanujacharya was the world. He couldn't think beyond Ramanujacharya. Even the deities, everything about the Lord came only after Ramanujacharya for him. So he was extremely immersed in Guru Bhakti. Now, this Andhrapurna, he used to worship the sandals of Sri Padramanujacharya. The Padukas of Sri Padramanujacharya was his worshipable deity. So there are some interesting stories about this person. So once, while traveling with Ramanujacharya, he would carry the deity of Sri Padramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya always carried a particular deity with him. So Andhrapurna had the service of carrying that deity. So what he would do is, while carrying that deity, along with that deity, he would also carry the sandals of Ramanujacharya on top of the deity box that he was carrying. That is, he would carry the deity of Sri Padramanujacharya on his head, and on top of that, he would put the sandals of Sri Padramanujacharya. So like this, he used to do this, you know, always while traveling, and Ramanujacharya once noticed this. And he became very, very shocked. He said, what are you doing, Andhrapurna? Why are you carrying my sandals on top of the box in which the deity is there? So at that time, Andhrapurna replied, see, my worshipable deity, your padukas, is equally glorious as your worshipable deities. So there's nothing wrong with me carrying my deity over your deity. So this was the logic that Andhrapurna would present. However, Ramanujacharya would restrain him from doing that because he would say it's an aparad, but still Andhrapurna would always insist that his deities were more worshipable than Ramanujacharya's deities. So he would always place the lotus feet of Shripad Ramanujacharya on top of the actual vigraha or the deity of Shripad Ramanujacharya. The worshipable deity, not the deity of Shripad Ramanujacharya, the deity of the Lord, I meant. Okay. So like this, once when, this was later after their travels and when they went back to Srirangam, it so happened that once Ramanujacharya was going to take darshan of the deity in Srirangam, and when he would take darshan of the form of the deity, of the main deity, he would be totally immersed in looking at the beauty of the deity. So while Ramanujacharya would take darshan of the Lord, this Andhrapurna, Vadganambi, would be fully enjoying the beautiful form of Shripad Ramanujacharya. So like this, once Shripad Ramanujacharya notices and he asks Andhrapurna to look at the beautiful eyes of Lord Ranganath. He'll be like, why are you looking at me now? You're in front of the deity. You should be looking at the beautiful eyes of Lord Ranganath. Instead, why are you looking at me? So at that time, Andhrapurna would reply, my eyes that saw the beautiful form of my guru will not see anything else, even if it is Lord Ranganath. So that kind of devotion he had towards his guru. And this Andhrapurna, he would regularly accept the Mahaprasad of Ramanujacharya. That is, you know, once the guru takes prasadam, we take the remnants from his plate, right? So like that, Andhrapurna would always make sure that he ate only the remnants of Sripad Ramanujacharya. And after consuming the remnants of Sripad Ramanujacharya, he would wipe his hands on the head, on his head in reverence, instead of washing his hands. So usually when we accept Charanamrit in the temple, you know, when we take it in our hands, we just drink the Charanamrit. And then generally, at least ancient tradition is that you don't really wash it off, but you wipe it over your head, the remaining part of the Charanamrit. So that is a tradition that is being followed. Like you put it to your head, you know, with respect. So like that, Rama, this Andhrapurna, he would take the remnants of his guru and put it on his head. Usually we don't do that. When we take the remnants of our acharya, we wash our hands, right? But just like how you would accept Charanamrit, similarly, Andhrapurna would always wipe it over his head. So, and once Andhrapurna was boiling milk for Ramanujacharya, and at that time, the Utsav deity was coming in procession in Sri Rangam. So at that time, immediately, everybody in the ashram, Ramanujacharya and all his followers, all of them, they went out to receive the Lord who was going in procession. So at that time, Ramanujacharya realizes that only one disciple is missing, who is Andhrapurna. So he calls out, Andhrapurna, come out and take darshan of the Lord. The Lord is coming out in procession. So at that time, Andhrapurna replies from inside. He's actually boiling milk for Sripad Ramanujacharya's lunch. And when he's doing that, he replies from inside, saying that if I come out to worship your Lord, my Lord's milk will get burnt. So I won't come. I'm not interested in coming out. So these are some very sweet pastimes about Andhrapurna or Vadiganambi. Very, very inspiring devotee. It's very nice when we hear about these devotees who have very strong faith in their guru. It kind of encourages us to have better faith and, better, I would say, surrender in our hearts towards our acharyas. So we'll continue from where we left. So like this, after crossing this particular place called as Vani Pushkarini, which is actually a river, Sripad Ramanujacharya and his disciples, they reach a place called as Tondanur. Now here, again, this is in the border of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. We have reached Karnataka now. At this particular place called as Tondanur, was the home of 12,000 Jains. Jains, okay? So Jainism was very, very strongly established in Karnataka at this time. So the king there, his name was Bittideva or Vitaladeva. That king also became a Jain because of the influence of the Jainism that was spreading there in that area. Now, Bittideva's daughter had some mental issues. She was not so well. She had a lot of mental problems. So at that time, this king, he tried to do all kinds of treatments, but everything failed. So because everything failed, some Vaishnavas who were there in that town, they went and told Bittideva that the only solution to this problem is to go to Sripad Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya is a great Vaishnava. And he's come from Tamil Nadu. If your daughter gets a darshan with him, surely her mental issues will be cured. So, Bittideva along with his wife, they go and they surrender to Ramanujacharya. Now, as of now, Bittideva was following Jainism. But because of this intense pressure from his wife saying that, you know, our child has to be cured. So they take the step, they go and they meet Sripad Ramanujacharya. Then what they do is, the disciples of Sripad Ramanujacharya, they wash the lotus feet of Sripad Ramanujacharya, collect the water and give it to that girl to drink. So the minute that girl consumes the water that has been washed off from the feet of Sripad Ramanujacharya, she gets cured miraculously. So seeing this miracle in front of their eyes, the king and the queen, they surrender to Sripad Ramanujacharya, and they surrender so much so that they are so inspired by Ramanujacharya and his preaching that they actually convert into Vaishnavism. And this king gets the initiated name as Vishnuvardhan. And later he helps to build many, many, many Vishnu temples in this area. Now, this is the story of Vishnuvardhan. He's a very great king. I don't know if anyone is from Karnataka on this call, but a lot of you, at least I studied in Karnataka, so I know a lot of Karnataka history. And Vishnuvardhan was considered as one of the greatest kings in Karnataka. So, this is the story of how Vishnuvardhan was converted. And later he helped to build many temples. Now, 12,000 people who are the Jains, right? I told you 12,000 Jains were actually preaching in that area. They got very wild because their great king, Bhittideva, was now converted. So they got very angry and they came to debate with Sripad Ramanujacharya. In those days, you know, if there were two opposing philosophies, it's not that they would get to the streets and fight. Rather, the way they would fight is get into a debate, philosophical debate, very, very cultured system, you know. They would have philosophical debates. So these 12,000 Jains, they invited Sripad Ramanujacharya to have a philosophical debate. Now, Ramanujacharya had to simultaneously debate with 12,000 people. So what he did was, he went and took a seat behind a screen. He just put a screen in front of him. These 12,000 Jains were on the other side. Ramanujacharya was on one side. And behind the screen, Ramanujacharya took his original form as Adisesha. He manifested all his several hoots, okay, of Adisesha. And simultaneously, he defeated all these 12,000 Jains. Even now, there is a deity of Sripad Ramanujacharya with his several hoots, taking his original form as Adisesha. So I can probably send a picture of that deity later after this call. Now, after finishing this, after defeating all the 12,000 Jains and converting even them to Vaishnava, Ramanujacharya, he proceeds further towards Melukote. Melukote is his final destination in Karnataka. He has to go there. Now, before he reaches this hill known as Yadavagiri or Yadugiri or Melukote, Ramanujacharya, in the foothills of that place, he settles down for the night. So, that time he looks very lovingly towards the hill and he prays to the Lord, please grant me entry into this place. And on that day itself, he realizes that the tilak that he's carrying with him has got over. So he is not able to apply tilak on his forehead. So this is a very difficult situation for a Vaishnava like Ramanujacharya. They cannot step out without tilak, you know. So he was feeling very, very sad on his heart that the tilak was over. So at that time he was praying to the Lord that I have two desires. One is I somehow reach the hill on top of Melukote. I should somehow come and have your darshan. And the second thing is somehow I should acquire some tilak. So at that time, that night, the Lord appeared in his dream and he told him, this particular Lord who's on top of the Melukote hill, his name is Tirunarayana. That is his name. This place is also called as Tirunarayanapuram or it is called as Yadugiri or Melukote. Again, it's a very famous temple in Karnataka. So this deity appeared in his dream and told him that, you go to this particular lake which is close by. It's called as Kalyani Pushkarini. And there you will find lots of tilak, lots of white sand, white clay from which you get tilak. And this tilak or this clay that is present there was actually brought by Garuda from Shvetadvipa of this material universe. Shvetadvipa near the milk ocean, right? You have Shvetadvipa. So from there Garuda had brought it and he had left it here. So even to this day, the Sri Vaishnavas acquire their white tilak from this Kalyani Pushkarini. Actually, that's where they originally procure it from. So Garuda had left it there. So you can go there and the Lord gives some directions where he should go and where he should obtain the clay. So this dream was over. So Ramanujacharya, very happily, he goes and he procures this tilak. Oh, there is another story about Andhrapurna. I didn't write it down, but I really wanted to say that. It's a very sweet story. Every day when Sripad Ramanujacharya would apply tilak on his forehead, whatever remnants of tilak was there, Andhrapurna would wear it for himself. That is, he would put it on himself, on his forehead. So one day, he was always serving Sripad Ramanujacharya. And whenever Ramanujacharya, bathed in the river and came out and asked Andhrapurna to come, Andhrapurna would come immediately running. He would come to Sripad Ramanujacharya and give him a nice block of tilak to wear. So this was one of the services that Andhrapurna was doing. Now one day this Andhrapurna got delayed. Sripad Ramanujacharya was calling out to Andhrapurna. This is before he climbed the Melukote hill, before that. One day, Sripad Ramanujacharya was calling out to Andhrapurna to bring the tilak to him. But that particular day, Andhrapurna was delayed. Okay, so he didn't come. Instead, the deity itself took the form of a little boy And he disguised himself as Andhrapurna, and he went in front of Ramanujacharya and he gave the tilak. So at that time, Ramanujacharya, thinking that this is Andhrapurna who is giving him the tilak, he applies the tilak and he gives his remnants to the Lord. Okay, the Lord is now in the disguise of Andhrapurna, and the Lord wears the tilak and he vanishes. And then Andhrapurna, the original Andhrapurna who is late, comes running to his guru and he says, oh, today I got delayed. Sorry, Guru Maharaj, I got delayed today. Here is your tilak. And Ramanujacharya is all shocked. He's like, oh, I just thought you gave me the tilak. See, I'm wearing fresh tilak. And I thought I also gave you the remnants of the tilak. And then Andhrapurna is very surprised and he says, no, today I got delayed. I didn't come on time. I'm not sure who you gave it to. And then when they go and see the deity in Melkote, they see that he has fresh tilak worn on his forehead. The deity wanted to accept the role of Andhrapurna and take the remnants of Sripad Ramanujacharya's tilak. So that is another pastime that I wanted to connect with Andhrapurna. Now, again, I got diverted, sorry. So still Ramanujacharya has not yet climbed the hill. The deity appeared in his dream and told him exactly where the white tilak would be found, and he procures the tilak and he wears it. Then Ramanujacharya, he manages to climb the hill and go on top of the hill. But when he goes on top of the hill, he sees that the deity is missing. The great celebrated deity, his name is there in different Puranas. Actually, I sent an article along with the link, along with our reminder today. In that article, if you just click on that link, you can go and read about Melkote, and you can read about the entire history of Melkote, about different places in Melkote. There is a big ISKCON center there. It is called as the ISKCON Vanaprastha Ashram. And they have a big cow farm, and they supply a lot of milk to the nearby area. There is a big Vedic academy. Everything is run by ISKCON. So it's a very big center for us. It's a very big preaching center for us, Melkote. So you can read about that. That's why I kept sending out that link along with the message that I about the along with the reminder message. So please, if you get a chance, please read that entire article. In that article, the different Puranas in which these stories are mentioned is also given. So for reference, you can look at it. Now, when he went on top of the hill, he saw that the deity was missing. So Ramanujacharya didn't understand anything. He had heard so many glories about this temple. He wanted to settle down in this temple and worship the deities, but unfortunately the deities were missing. So that night, again the Lord appeared in his dream and he told him where to acquire the deity. He says, the deity tells him that he should go southwest and start digging in a particular place. And under a tulsi tree, there will be a big ant hill. If you uncover that ant hill, inside you will find my deity. So when he receives this instruction from the deity in his dream, Sripad Ramanujacharya, along with the help of the king Bitti Deva, or now Vishnuvardhan, he goes to that particular place. He digs in that place under the tulsi tree and under the tulsi plant. And then there he sees a big ant hill. And then with the help of the men of Bitti Deva, they continue to dig further and they find this big deity of Sri Narayana. Now, when they find this deity, this is a very, very ancient deity. This deity was called, this deity was worshipped by Brahma, worshipped by Sanat Kumara, Dattatreya. Okay, all these people have been worshipping this deity since Satya Yuga. This deity is a very ancient deity. And this hill on which this deity is present was known as Narayanadri in the first yuga. It was known as Vedadri in the second yuga. In the Dwapar Yuga, when Krishna was there, it was known as Yadugiri. And in the Kali Yuga, when Sripad Ramanujacharya came, it came to be known as Yati Shailam or Yatigiri. So these are the different names of this particular hill. And we'll see the reasons why it was called as Yadugiri, especially what happened actually. What is the connection with Krishna? We will see that also in this pastime. So finally, this deity was recovered, and with the help of Bitti Deva, they established this deity. Now, once they established this deity, the next problem was, where is the Utsav deity? So when there is a main deity worshipped in an ancient temple, there is also an Utsav deity. So Sripad Ramanujacharya was wondering what happened to the Utsav deity. Now, this particular Utsav deity was called as Ramapriya. Okay, it had a connection with both Sri Ramachandra. It also had a connection with Krishna. Now we'll see that story. What was the connection with Ram and Krishna? So this particular deity originally had, this Utsav deity had the name Ramapriya. Now this Ramapriya was worshipped by Lord Sri Ramachandra after Lord Ranganath left him. Now, I hope I'm not confusing everybody. So Lord Ramachandra in Ayodhya, his worshipable, original worshipable deity was the deity of Lord Ranganath. After Ranganath left, after he gave Ranganath as a gift to Vibhishan, Ranganath went down south and he settled in Srirangam. This is the story of Ranganatha. I hope you remember this story. We have discussed this story in our Chaitanya Charitamrita classes and many other classes. So originally this Ranganath deity itself was a deity that was worshipped by Lord Sri Ramachandra in the Ikshvaku dynasty. He comes from the Ikshvaku dynasty. Now after Ranganath left with Vibhishan, Lord Ram wanted another deity. So he procured this particular deity called as Ramapriya. Now this Ramapriya is going to come to Melkote. Okay. Now this Ramapriya deity that Sri Rama was worshipping was later given to Kusha. Kusha is the son of Rama. So Rama has two sons, Lava Kusha, right? So Kusha received this deity and Kusha had a particular daughter. So when he married his daughter, when Kusha's daughter was married, this Ramapriya deity was given to Kusha's daughter as a marriage gift. Even to this day, in many cultures in India, when a girl gets married, when she's married off to a groom, at that time, they give the girl a small vigraha, a deity for worshipping, so that the girl and her husband can worship a deity. Usually it is a small Krishna vigraha or it is Paligram, depends on the culture. They get a small worshipable deity when they get married off. So like that, Kusha's daughter was given this a deity, and this deity was the Ramapriya deity, which was worshipped by Lord Ramachandra. Now this Ramapriya, has gone to the house of Kusha's daughter's in-laws. Now Kusha married a prince from the Yadu dynasty. So this Ramapriya deity goes to the Yadu dynasty, okay? And now he's being worshipped by the Yadavas. So like that, comes down through generations and he's been worshipped by the Yadavas now. And finally, he's also worshipped by Krishna and Balaram. Now, when Balaram goes on Tirtha Yatra, as we read in Bhagavatam and other places, when Balaram was going on Tirtha Yatra, he comes to this place known as Melkote. There, when he sees the main deity, he's not seeing the Utsav deity. Utsav deity is in his home, in his palace. And everyone is worshipping the Utsav deity. But when he sees the main deity of Tirunarayanapuram, when he sees this beautiful form of the deity, he gets reminded of his Utsav deity and he sees a striking similarity in the face of the main deity here and the Utsav deity in his house. So immediately he connects the two, he comes back and tells Lord Krishna that the Utsav deity seems to be matching with the main deity there. So immediately Krishna and Balaram, they take the deity there and the deity is established in Yadugiri and the worship goes on in Dwapara Yuga. He's taken there and he's re-established in that particular place. So this is the story that is not only given in the Sthala Purana, it is also there in other Puranas, but it is not there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? And you can probably read that link that was there in Back to Godhead. About the story. I mean, it gives a lot of details about Melkote. If you get time, all of you can read that. So this is the story of Ramapriya deity. Now, it is Kali Yuga. Now, Ramanujacharya is looking for that deity, but that Ramapriya deity, which was worshipped by Lord Rama and Lord Krishna, is now missing. Okay? Krishna came back and established the worship of the deity there, but today, when Shripad Ramanujacharya was seeing, this deity was missing. So Shripad Ramanujacharya, now again, had to find where this deity was. So he goes and he asks for some locals about this deity, and from the locals he comes to know that when some Muslim invasion happened, this deity was taken away by the Sultan to Delhi. So now Ramanujacharya, again he goes running to Delhi to retrieve this deity. So the next Ramanujacharya starts walking towards Delhi. So there he goes and he finally gets to meet the king there, and he requests the king that he wants a particular deity. The king has ransacked many deities. So he goes and requests the king and says that, I want this particular deity, can you please give him to me? So at that time, the Sultan says, I don't know where it is. Maybe it could be in my daughter's room. My daughter keeps playing with many things. So you can go and check. If she is ready to give you, if the deity is ready to come with you, you can go and take the deity. So Ramanujacharya goes to this little girl's room. She's actually playing with the deity like a toy. She's dressed up the deity like a nice sultan with a nice cap and nice, you know, like just like how you see the sultan kings. Like that she's dressed up this deity and she's just playing with him like a doll. So at that time, Shripad Ramanujacharya, he goes inside and he calls out to the deity. He says, Sampath Kumar Chalapillai, please come. You know, he calls out, my little child, please come to me. So at that time, this little deity starts walking towards him. He runs towards Ramanujacharya. Ting, 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 like that. He runs towards Ramanujacharya and goes and sits on his lap, a walking deity. Deity comes walking and sits on his lap. So seeing this, the Sultan is amazed and he allows Ramanujacharya to take the deity back with him. So he takes back this deity and of course this girl is in total love with the Lord. And also she gives up her life and later she's established as a deity who still worshipped in Melkote because she was in so much love with the Lord that she wanted to run away with this little deity which she was actually taking care of like a toy. So later she's also established as a deity in Melkote because she was in love with the Lord. So anyway, so now Ramapriya comes back and the worship is established. Now Ramapriya is there and the original Sirinarayana deity is there. And the Sripad Ramanujacharya, with the help of Pitti Deva, he makes sure that the deities are reinstalled and everything is, all the worship is going on well. Now in the previous class when I said 52 Vaishnavas came and joined Sripad Ramanujacharya. Message was sent and 52 Vaishnavas from Srirangam came. And all these 52 Vaishnavas were given services and they continued to serve in Melkote for a very long time. All of them were given different services and full complete services in Melkote was re-established by Sripad Ramanujacharya. Now, 12 years passed by. Ramanujacharya was in Melkote for 12 years. Even now, the Melkote Sri Vaishnavas are very famous all over the world. They are very, very strong Ramanuja followers in Melkote. So, over a period of time, after 12 years, eventually, this Chola king, this Kulotunga Chola, the villain who actually blinded the eyes of Kuresh, that person passed away, okay? And his descendants took over and Ramanujacharya was called back to Srirangam. Now the fear was gone of this particular king and Ramanujacharya was called back to Srirangam. A messenger came and asked Ramanujacharya to come back. So Ramanujacharya, he went back to Srirangam and there he saw that Kuresh was missing. So he asked what happened to Kuresh and the entire story of how Kuresh was blinded and how Mahapurna passed away was told to Sripad Ramanujacharya and Kuresh was called back to Srirangam. Remember I told Kuresh was actually serving in Madurai in Ayoga temple. So he was asked to come back. So after Kuresh came back, Ramanujacharya asked him, oh Kuresh, you're such a kind-hearted Vaishnava. What did you do that your eyes had to be blinded? So at that time, Kuresh gives this answer. He says, some days back, when I saw a Sri Vaishnava, I thought in my mind, this Vaishnava's tilak is a little slanting. So because of the flaw in my thought, my eyes made a mistake. My eyes found fault in the tilak worn by a Vaishnava. And I thought in my mind, he didn't even tell it out to the Vaishnava. He just thought in his mind. Okay, he thought in his mind, oh, maybe this Vaishnava's tilak is slanting. Because I saw a flaw in a Vaishnava, the Lord desired to take off my eyes. So this is the answer given by Kuresh. And then I don't know what all offenses we are doing and what all organs in our body should be taken off. Anyway, so when he says that Ramanujacharya, he lovingly says, no, it is not that. Because of the sins that I have done, because fortunately or unfortunately, you have become my disciple, and because of the sins that I am doing, you had to suffer. This is the answer given by Sripad Ramanujacharya. So both of them embrace each other. And Ramanujacharya immediately tells him, see Kuresh, you should go to Lord Varadaraj. Varadaraj is known for giving boons. So you please go to him and pray to him and ask him to give back your eyes. So at that time, Ramanujacharya tells Kuresh to sing the Varadaraja Stavam. Now, Koresh has composed many songs. One of the songs that he has composed is called Varadaraja Stavam, which is a glorification of Lord Varadaraj. So, Ramanujacharya asks him to sing, and then at the end of the song, he says, you ask the Lord to give your eyes. So, Koresh goes there in front of the Lord, and he goes and he prays to the Lord. He sings the beautiful songs. And then at the end, when he has to ask for the eyes, it so happens that Ramanujacharya, who's standing next to him, gets diverted. A Vaishnava comes to meet Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya gets a little diverted. And it is the correct time for Koresh to ask for the boon. So Koresh asks that, please give me Divya Chakshush. Don't give me this, material eyes. Give me spiritual eyes with which I can see only you and my Guru Shripad Ramanujacharya. So Koresh asks for this. And then Koresh also asks for another thing. He asks, please forgive this Naluran. This Naluran was the one who obtained 100 gold coins, and he told the method how to, wipe out Vaishnavism. Remember, when he's the one who told the Chola king how to wipe out Vaishnavism, how to get this this thing, Shivat Parataram Nasti, signed from Ramanujacharya. Remember in the previous class I was telling. So the person who helped all these, this king and his men was actually a disciple of Koresh known as Naluran. So Koresh asks for two things. One is, give me divine eyes with which I can see only my guru and the form of the deity, form of Varadaraj. And also, please forgive Naluran and give him liberation. So these two requests he asked the Lord, and Lord Varadaraj immediately sanctions this. So now Ramanujacharya turns back and asks Koresh, so did you ask for the eyes? Koresh says, yes, I asked the Lord, said, okay, and he gave it. Then Ramanujacharya is like, no, I don't see the material eyes. I want you to ask him for material eyes. So again he sings the Varadaraja Stavam, and again he asks for the, before he asks for the material eyes, the Lord understands that Ramanujacharya is very persistent and he has to give him the material eyes. So the Lord tells him, okay, I will give you the material eyes, with which you can see only the form of Lord Varadaraj and Ramanujacharya, and with your Divya Chakshush that I've already given you, you can see other things. So like this, because of Ramanujacharya's persistence, Koresh acquires his eyes, and also he makes sure that Naluran is forgiven and he gets liberated. And in fact, even after this, Ramanujacharya doesn't leave him. He tests him. He says, okay, now I can see that you have material eyes, and now you have to, describe the Lord from crown to the lotus feet. So he describes the Lord from crown to the lotus feet. And then he says, okay, you've described the Lord. I know that is plausible by the mercy of the Lord, but can you describe me? So again, he describes Sripad Ramanujacharya, how Ramanujacharya is looking. Then Ramanujacharya is really satisfied that Koresh can see. But actually, with his material eyes, he's able to see only the form of the Lord and Ramanujacharya. But with his divine eyes, he's able to see other things also. This was the boon that was given by Lord Varadaraj, based on what Koresh had asked him. So it was time for Koresh to leave his body. He had become very, very old. At that time, Sripad Ramanujacharya doesn't allow him to part with his body. He says, no, you cannot go. You cannot leave us and go. So at that time, Koresh said, it is actually correct for me to go before you, because when I go to the spiritual world before you, you are my guru. That is Ramanujacharya. He's telling Ramanujacharya, you are my guru. So it is the duty of a disciple to go and wait for his guru and welcome him. So let me do that duty. Let me leave this world before you and go to the spiritual world. There I will be waiting at the entrance to welcome you. So he says like this, and Koresh passes away. Now, Ramanujacharya had started writing the Sri Bhashya, remember? But he didn't complete it. I said 3/4 of the Sri Bhashya was done with the help of Koresh. Now the remaining part, after Koresh had left this material world, the remaining part of Sri Bhashya was pending. So he took the help of one disciple called as Vishnu Chitta, who scribed for Sripad Ramanujacharya. Initially, Ramanujacharya wasn't very sure about the capability of Vishnu Chitta, but later he matched, he caught up with Koresh, and Ramanujacharya was very, very impressed by the works of Vishnu Chitta, and he named him Engal Alvan. That means you're reminding me of Koresh, Ramanuja says. the way you're writing down everything actually reminds me of my dear Kuresh. So this Vishnu Chitta actually helped Ramanujacharya to complete the Sri Bhashya. Now, there are a few things which I want to say before the passing away of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya had many names. We have gone through many of these names. One of the names that we have told during his, he was named as Ilayarvans by his uncle, Sri Shailapurna, at birth. He was given the name Yatiraja Ramanuja by Lord Varadaraj during his sannyas, and the name was also told to him by Kanchipurna. He was given the name Udayavar by the deity of Srirangam, telling him that he is in charge of both the material and the spiritual world. He was given the name Lakshmanamuni by Jnanapurna, who is one of his gurus. He was given the name Godagrija, that is the brother of Andal, the Alvar Andal or Kodai. He is known as Godagrija by the Sri Viliputra Vaishnavas. That is, the Vaishnavas living in that area gave him the name Godagrija, that is, you are the brother of Goda, because you fulfilled the desire that she had, and you offered 100 pots of sweet rice and butter to the deity. So that's why he's called as Godagrija, because Ramanujacharya fulfilled the desire of the Alvar known as Andal. Then he's also called as Tirupavaijiyar. That means because remember I told you that pastime of how this little girl Attirai opened the door and Sripad Ramanujacharya fainted. Seeing this, he was given the name Tirupavaijiyar. Tirupavai is the works of Andal, because he always kept singing the works of the Andal. He's called as a Maharaj who always sings the works of the Andal. So that another name for that is Tirupavaijiyar. He was also given the name Bhashyakara by Goddess Saraswati when he went to the Saraswati Banda. So these are some names of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Now there are four important deities of Sripad Ramanujacharya. The first deity that we heard in the first class is the Bhavishyat Acharya deity that is there in Alvar Tirunagari. Remember in the first session when we heard about the history, we saw that Madhurakavi actually procured a deity by boiling the water of Tamarabharani on the order of Nammalvar. Remember that story? At that time, a particular deity came out and Nammalvar said, this will be the future Acharya. So that Bhavishyat Acharya Vigraha is still there in Alvar Tirunagari. Then there is one deity of Sripad Ramanujacharya in his birthplace known as Sri Perambadur. And this is the deity he liked the most. He really liked this deity. He said, this deity looks exactly like me. So the deity which Ramanujacharya liked the most is there in Sri Perambadur. The deity Melkote was liked most by all his associates. All the associates, with a lot of love, they established a deity in Melkote. Actually, this deity in Melkote, this Ramanuja Vigraha, Ramanujacharya is known to have embraced the deity and given all his energy into it. So it's a very, very special deity. The deity in his birthplace, Sri Perambadur, which I just mentioned, when that deity was being established, actually there's a pastime that Ramanujacharya suddenly lost consciousness and fainted, because a part of his energy was being transferred into the deity in Sri Perambadur. Okay, so I told three deities, one in his birthplace, which he's fond of, one which is the favorite of all the devotees in Melkote, and the deity which is the Bhavishyat Acharya deity, and the fourth deity is the deity in Srirangam, which was established on his samadhi. And this is called as the self-made deity. Now, this is not to be confused thinking that this is the original body of Ramanujacharya, hair is growing, nail is growing, all that doesn't, that's all nonsense. In Vedic tradition, there's no question of preserving bodies like that. Okay, but on top of a samadhi, there is a beautiful vigraha which looks very much like him. It is like actually he is alive there. So that is the, these are the four important deities of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya lived for 120 years. In the last part of his life, he allotted service to each and every associate of his. He told 7 days before itself, he knew that he was leaving this world. He called out to his disciples and he told them that he would be soon leaving his body. And he said, when I die, not a single Vaishnava should cry. Because when a Vaishnava passes away, it is a celebration because he's going to the spiritual world. Now, Shripad Ramanujacharya had 12,000 Grihastha devotees who were both men and women, and they were devotees from all Varnas. He had 700 sannyasi disciples. He named 74 prime disciples who continue to initiate to this day. They are called as the 74 Simhasanadipatis. These 74 disciples of Shripad Ramanujacharya, their descendants continue to initiate in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya even today. He named his cousin Govinda, who was known as Embar, his sannyasi name was Embar. He named him to be the next leader after his passing away, followed by Parashara Bhatta, who is the son of Kuresha. So these two were the leaders. There were 74 leaders, but for them there was one leader, who was Govinda, and later that post would be taken by Parashara Bhatta. All this he had assigned already. And before he passed away, he gave six final instructions. These are the six final instructions of Shripad Ramanujacharya. Study the Sri Bhashya and teach it to others. This service is the most pleasing to the Lord. If this is not possible, then study the teachings of other devotees and then instruct some disciples. If you are unable to do this, then go to a holy place and recite there, or go to Yadugiri or Yadavagiri, Melkote, and serve the Lord there. If you cannot, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. You got dropped off.
Okay, the six final instructions of Shripad Ramanujacharya. Is that when I got dropped off?
No, Mataji. I think you have covered four and...
Yeah. Can you repeat all six, Mataji?
Yes, yes, yes. He says, study the Sri Bhashya and teach it to others. This is the first thing. If you cannot... he says, this is the most pleasing to the Lord. If this is not possible, then study the teaching that is being given by other acharyas in the sampradaya and instruct it to your disciples. That means continue the Guru Parampara. If you are unable to do this, then go to a holy place and recite there, or go to Yadugiri and serve the Lord there. If you cannot do this, then remain where you are and surrender to your Guru and meditate on the Vaishnava mantras. If all of these are impossible, then simply seek out the refuge of a pure-hearted Vaishnava and associate with him constantly. These are the six final instructions of Shripad Ramanujacharya. When Ramanujacharya passed away, his feet was on Andhrapurna or Vadaganambi, and his head was on the lap of Govinda or Embar on a Dashami Tithi Shukla Paksha Magma. He passed away in 1137 AD. So this is the life history, teachings, associates of Shripad Ramanujacharya. And there are many sources for these five, for this entire presentation. There are several sources, just to name some. It is the 6,000 Guru Parampara verses, the 3,000 Guru Parampara verses, Guru Parampara Saram, Divya Suri Charitram, Yatiraja Vaibhavan, Prapanna Pavitranam, Yatiraja Saptati, Yatiraja Vimshati, and all the lectures of my Guru Maharaj. So these are the different sources with which this entire presentation was compiled. So I thank you all so much for your patience. And with the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, I'm very happy that we could complete this series. Thank you all so much. Please, as usual, share your realizations, because this is the best part of every class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasmai Mataji. I think that we all should thank you for this wonderful presentation, for this wonderful life history of Ramanujacharya that you shared with all of us. And we are indebted to you that you took so much of effort in reading and, you know, explaining this to all of us. Though some of the words being born and not, you know, it went on top of my head. But the real crux was easily passed through your lectures. So
thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. And that is the most important. So if the message was passed, that is enough. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
So Mataji, I just have one quick question.
Yes, Mataji.
It's not a question as such, but it's just a doubt that came up. Like you were telling that how Ramanujacharya was telling that his disciple to come and see the Lord, and he's just carrying and to each and every instruction of Ramanujacharya, being his spiritual master, he was counteracting and he was giving some answers, though it was more of devotion. But seeing to it, I just have a doubt, like how we should behave while we are in front of spiritual master. Because when I do a Vapo, you know, there's a Vapo association with Guru Maharaj, then there are a lot of times that Guru Maharaj instructs something which we feel is not good doing in front of Guru Maharaj, but just to carry out his instructions, we do it. So how should be the mood?
So in the case of Andhrapurna, he was so immersed that you couldn't bring him out of this, because Ramanujacharya tried to advise him on so many things all the time. He kept telling, no, this is an aparad, this is not how you do it. Now for a normal person, yes, we should, if our guru is correcting us, our first duty is to respect the guru and carry out his instruction naturally, right? So that is what we are supposed to do. We are not at that level like he was. But he was beyond that. He really couldn't, assimilate even what Ramanujacharya was trying to teach him. He just couldn't take it. For him, he was so immersed. Like, there are some people who are so immersed that you cannot bring them out of that situation. But we don't artificially do it because we are not like that. So when we come to that stage where we are totally immersed in our Guru Bhakti, at that time, if we do it naturally, then there is no offense. But we shouldn't do it artificially, in the sense when we are at that level, it's okay to do it, but we are not yet there. So our first duty is first to listen to the guru and carry out his instruction, because that is most pleasing to him. First, we are supposed to do that. But involuntarily, some people, when they are in that zone where they don't know anything other than their guru, this happens. But we are not like that, right? When we see the deity, we like to see the deity, we like to worship the deity, we like to do devotional service. It's not that we are always immersed in just doing service to our guru. We are not like that. We are not yet there. So when we are in that state, there is no offense. But in this state, yes, the instruction of the guru comes first. If our guru wants us to do something, if he corrects us on something, that should be the first thing that we take to heart and we execute it properly. Is that okay, Mataji? Just like, just like Sabari. Shabari, she was in a different state of mind. So we cannot see offenses in what she did. Or that, that lady who was in Krishna's pastime, in the Vrindavan pastime actually, there is this lady who would, in Sanatan Goswami's story, she would stir the khichdi with her toothbrush. So we can't go into the kitchen without showering or...
Of course, that's true.
That bhav is very different for them, so it's like that, yeah. Thank you, Kirtida Mata. It's a very valid question. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Mataji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, wonderful ending. I unfortunately was in and out. I had somebody come in, so I couldn't hear completely. So I don't have many realizations. I'll go back and listen. But I just wanted to share one thing, and maybe this in itself I think is a blessing. Is that actually I'm leaving for India on Friday, and our plan is to go to Tirupati, and it just so happened, and we are also going to be going to Bangalore and Mysore. This was decided, and then right after that, so it was yesterday, was it last week or 2 weeks, you started talking about Melkote, and you said it's right outside, 30 kilometers outside or 30 miles outside, so I was telling my husband, I said, okay, this is destiny, we're supposed to, and he was all excited too, so our hope, our plan, let's hope the Lord fulfills this desire, is to go to Melkote, and it's just wonderful for me that you finished this. I kept when you asked last week, should I put this off until the next time, and I'm sitting here thinking, if I don't listen to class on Tuesday, I'm going to miss the second part. I have to make sure I listen so I can get all the details of what exactly I want to see when I go there. So I have the Stala Purana in my head, hopefully in my heart as I get there. And hopefully I can see and feel the atmosphere of the Dham when I go there.
Oh,
so
definitely. Mataji, please bring all the blessings from there. And
yeah.
Mataji, please read that article in Back to Godhead, the link that I sent about Melikote.
Yes.
There is a very nice Vanaprastha ashram run by ISKCON, and they have a nice farm community with cows. And they supply milk to the Yoga Narsimha deity, which is there in Melikote, which was established by Prahlad Maharaj. It's very famous. Actually, the deity is very famous.
So please take darshan.
And also the darshan of the Ramanujacharya deity, which looks, they say that the disciples of Ramanujacharya explain that that deity looks exactly like Sripad Ramanujacharya, how his features, everything is like exactly like that deity.
So I'm gonna call you later on and say, okay, give me a list of everything I need to look out for, because I know once I get there I'll just be overwhelmed and I'll forget everything. So I want to, you know, make sure that I, like you said, listen to the Stala Purana, have the right mindset. You know, I also asked my Guru Maharaj to bless the trip to Tirupati. So everything's set. Krishna has arranged everything. Wonderfully. So I'm very excited, and I would request the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis that are on call, to please bless us that we will have the darshan of Lord Venkateshwara and also Tirunarayana and also Yoga Narsimha. So, and of course Ramanujacharya. So
and
please
Ramana,
bless.
Yeah.
So that's so. Thank you. So that is my. My input for today. I couldn't even think of the right word. My input for today is, my realization for today is that, okay?
Thank you, Mataji. Wonderful. Yeah, we pray for you, Mataji. Pray for us too when you get there.
Hare
Krishna. Yes, Anushwari Mataji, we definitely pray for you and that you get the right mood to see the Dham. And of course, you also please carry some blessings there from Dham to all of us so that we can also spiritually progress.
Definitely.
Actually, yeah, Mataji, I think the disciples of Jayakataka Maharaj actually started the farm community, if I'm not wrong. If you read that Back to Godhead magazine, you'll probably get some inputs. Yeah, so there'll be a lot of people there serving. So you'll get some nice association. Yeah.
I'm all excited. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Mataji. Thank you very much for this wonderful seminar, Mataji. 5 sessions, and then you did so wonderful job, Mataji. Really, thank you very much. And today I really liked the milk. It's a Melikote, right, Mataji? N or Melikote? What?
You can say it's Melukote, Melikote, or Melkote, Melikote.
Melikote.
Yeah.
How you explain the story from Treta Yuga and then up to Kali Yuga, it's still there. So nice, Mataji. So nice to hear that. Thank you very much for a wonderful class.
Thank you so much, Smigda Mataji. Thank you for everything. Thank you for encouraging all of us. Thank you.
And when you were telling that Ramanujacharya went here, there, then I was thinking that how long he lived.
120 years, right? Yeah.
He did so much, right? In one life. And he had so many disciples. Very nice. So nice to hear. Okay. Thank you very much, Mataji, for enlightening us.
Thank you so much for your love, Smita Mataji. Thank you. Anyone else has any? Yes, Mataji.
What should I say? A request, rather.
Yes, Mataji.
Just a request. And why don't you take up, few topics of seminar and start giving?
Yes, Mataji. Actually, everyone has asked for a Ramayana series, right?
That has also been on top of my head. Actually, I had started preparing Ayodhya Kanda. So if everyone desires, we can continue that series after Balakanda, what happened.
Yeah, sure, Mataji. Go ahead. You can take some few topics because we can take on side by side with Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because anyway, if we wait for Chaitanya Charitamrita, it will take another 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
side by side.
Thank you, Mataji. Yes, Mataji, we'll do it. If everyone is fine, we'll continue.
Thanks, Mataji.
Okay. So, if no one else has any questions or comments, we'll end the call. Thank you all so much again. Very indebted to all of you. Thanks again. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shripad Ramanujacharya Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.